Verse 17 of chapter 21, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Well, you jump right in the middle of it. Well, yeah, this was after the whole Naboth's vineyard. You know, we looked at Jezebel last week, and we studied on her, and we looked at that passage in Revelation that mentions her. Absent this story of Naboth's vineyard, when Jesus says to the Thyatira church, you suffer that woman Jezebel to teach, I have no idea what he's talking about if it's not this. If he's not making a reference to this, I don't know what he's talking about. I have an idea in my mind. It's exactly this story. And where I tied it up, connected those dots. I think those dots are very connectable. You could listen to, I did a recording on that, the Thyatira church last time we were in the book of the Revelation. I make a more compelling case, but I won't do that here. So the word of the Lord came to Elijah Tishbite saying, arise, go down and meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in what? The vineyard of Naboth. Just because he killed him, God still recognizes possession. Right? Whither he has gone down to possess it, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? It's been about 8 years. Last time they laid eyes on each other, he outran the chariot, Ahab's chariot, outran the horses to the gate of Samaria. You remember that. And that was the last time that they had seen each other. Now here it is 8 years later. It doesn't seem like 8 years passed. Seems like a few days, but no, it's about 8 years. And so he gives them this prophecy. Hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will take away thy posterity, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. We've seen that phrase before, male descendants, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Now, it's Ahab's fault. He's the leader in his house. You don't care who he's married to. And so God deals with him. But she's not... She's complicit in this, so she's got to answer for this also. And God calls her on it and prophesies. The prophecy is, Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. It's a grace. She was dead when it happened. And we know the story. But we don't know that at this point, right? I mean, if you're reading it for the first time. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. Him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Ladies, you have this tremendous influence on your husband. You think like, no, I don't. I wish I did. More than you ever would know. You don't need a Jezebel spirit. Use that superpower you have for good, of course. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things as did the Amorites whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So God had some contention with the Amorites. So he brought the children of Israel and said, okay, wipe them out, wipe out the Jebusites, wipe out this, wipe out that, take care of these. You're doing the same things they did? The reason that I brought you in here to clean house and now you're doing the same practices? Well, the things that gets God upset are the things that gets God upset. But he's not like, maybe you have a relationship, maybe like your spouse could be standing on your last nerve and not even know it. I would say this is probably true of me because I'm not very aware that way generally. She could be very upset with me and she'll sit there and bite her lip because she doesn't want to, you know, harp on me for nothing at all. She'll wait till it's unbearable and, you know, the dam breaks and I get full brunt. I'm just saying that. That never happened. I'm just giving you an illustration that. But you know how that can be, right? But that's because we don't always let people know our displeasure. If somebody walked into your house and lit up a cigar and started puffing on it, would you let them know? No, get out of here with that. We don't allow that in here. If they did that, most people wouldn't do that. Even people who smoke generally don't smoke in their house anymore. You know what I mean? But you know how it is. You let people know that's. But God's always been that way. It's not like, oh, you think idolatry is wrong, God? I didn't know. I didn't understand. No, we have whole commandments on that, and whole books written to that. And he always lets us know. He did very abominably. So the Lord cast out the Amorites. What makes him think he's not going to get cast out? It came to pass when Ahab heard these words. Now listen carefully. This is incredible. That he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. Some people say that went softly means he walked barefoot. All signs of repentance. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Wait a second. I know the end of the story. That's not true. That's not how it's going to happen. God says to a man named Josiah, who's a godly king, he says, you're going to go to the grave in peace. And he died violently in battle. Did God not know what was going on? No, he went to battle against the will of God. And God said, I had nice, peaceful death in your old age planned for you. And you want to, I'm not responsible for keeping you safe when you're self-willed and in a place where I don't want you to be. Is that stark language? Did you just see what he says? I'm not going to bring this in Ahab's day. And then he does. Because Ahab goes into battle when he against the word of the Lord, against the prophecy. As let's read it. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. You remember Ben-Hadad. Oh, he's my brother. You remember all that, right? Oh, we'll return this city and we'll do... None of that came to pass. If you are in league with a scoundrel... Why'd you make that deal to begin with? They did have some battle plans together. It's not covered in the Bible. They did rebuff the Assyrians together as a united force. So it, in the short term, it did look like his plan saw fruition. But again, God wasn't in it. And God didn't want that at all. It came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. So now we have Jehoshaphat in the southern kingdom. So he came down to the king of Israel. I thought that was north. When you leave Jerusalem, you're always going down. When you go to Jerusalem, you're always going up. The rabbis say if you're flying in a plane over Jerusalem and you parachute out, you're going up to Jerusalem. It's physically a high elevation, but it's up spiritually. And when you're leaving Jerusalem, you're always going down, even if you're going north. Because we look at a map and we say, you know, up is north, right? It's the way our globe, our orientation is the way we look at it. By the way, word orientation, if you Okay, like my Jewish guide said to us, okay, let's get orientated. That means we're supposed to face the east, the Orient. That's where the word comes from. But we orientate ourselves generally, you know, here may we, okay, let's see. Okay, north is that way. All right, I don't know where I am now. That's how we do. It's north. We're not very biblical, but we know where we're going, so it works out. I mean, we know where we're going geographically, but not always spiritually. But let's keep moving. He went down. He came down to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel said to his servant, and by the way, he's really going down spiritually. Jehoshaphat's a good and godly king, and this, he's not shining here. He makes a tragic mistake. The king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. By the way, he said he was going to return it. Has he? No. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. My people as thy people. My horses as thy horses. That's wrong, that's wrong, and that's wrong. I don't know if you have... Your horses are the same. I don't know about that. But your people aren't like his. You say, well, all children of Abraham, we have a man of faith, and we have a desperately wicked, godless, heathen man. And they may be able to claim, both of them may be able to claim Abraham is their great, great, many great grandfather. But one of them's godly, one of them's not. You know, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, you're not supposed to make alliances with godless. Look, in the New Testament we see, don't be unequally yoked together. And we always think of that in terms of marriage. And by the way, so it is. But it's not only that. I mean, obviously so. Do you want to go into a business venture with somebody who's a total heathen? You're going to have problems at the board meeting, you know. Hey, let's do this. No, if we do this and undersell and cut and we'll, you know, work some angles and... No, I don't think we're not supposed to be partnered up with. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes when you join the armed services, they don't care if you know you're a devout man of God and the guy in the foxhole with you is an atheist. They don't care. They're going to say, you get in there, you do what I tell you to do, and that's all there is to it. Don't you? Join up with or be in league with. What fellowship has light with darkness? This can't work out. Oh, my people are like your people. We're they exactly the same? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Jehoshaphat, that's a strong move. That's good. That's godly. I'm proud of you. That's good. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go? And he got a whole new set of them. 8 years ago, they all died. They were killed rather colorfully at Carmel. We read the story. You always get prophets for hire. You can always. Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king, capital L, small O-R-D, the master, the Adonai. It means Lord, but it doesn't mean the Lord specifically always. You know, we say the Lord, we generally, because we're in church and we know what we're talking about, but someone from a different faith can say the Lord and be talking about a different God. The Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Jehoshaphat said, and Jehoshaphat smells that this doesn't pass the, you know, the baloney meter, straight face test, whatever you want to. He thinks something's fishy here, and I think he's kind of figuring some stuff out. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, besides that we might inquire of him? Don't you have any like real prophets, is what he's saying. And that he just gave the back of the hand to all those prophets. 400 guys there, Jehoshaphat saying, get these clowns out of here. You got a real prophet? He may be saying it gentlemanly, but he's saying it. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Don't talk like that, is what he's saying. Don't let the king say so. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You know, give the guy the benefit of doubt, kind of. Micaiah may or may not be. According to the writings of Josephus, the one who covered his face in ashes and said, the guy smite me, that's the same Micaiah. Now, you don't have to believe that. It may or may not be the same guy, okay? This is where we're introduced to Micaiah by name, okay? So Micaiah, he never prophesies good about me. I hate that guy. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place, it's an open place, in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. That's town office. That's where decisions were made, where battle plans were drawn up. So when Jesus is saying the gates of hell won't prevail against you, the stratagems, the battle plans, their government won't. You know, we have this idea of, you know, we're running on the street and the gates of hell are chasing us. No, it's, or we're storming the gates of hell, but they won't hold against our assault. Why would you be storming the gates of hell? You're not going to liberate anybody. Oh, you mean here right now? Well, yeah, preach the gospel, but I wouldn't really call that storming the gates of hell, really. I just call that preaching the gospel. Anyway, I think that's what Jesus is saying. The stratagems, there's no weapon that's fashioned against you will stand. Don't you remember that from Isaiah? He's saying basically, here, just they're just, it's just showing you that's where the place is, where they make decision stuff. The entrance of the gate of Samaria. All the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord. Now he's all caps Lord, right? He's playing the game for Jehoshaphat's sake. With these thou shalt push the Syrians until they have consumed them. Is he a false prophet? Well, yes, of course he is. All 400 of them are false prophets. All 400. And by the way, is he correct? No, and you'll always tell a false prophet. What they say doesn't always happen. In this case, it's not going to. You're going to take these horns and you're going to, these, and you're going to, so he's playing this little word picture game. And the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. Listen, king, you're paying the bills. We'll tell you whatever you want to hear. A prophet for hire. Does the Church of Jesus Christ do that at all? You know, in the end times, this perilous times are going to come. People will gather to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, it's not the teachers have itching ears. It's the people who gather the teachers to themselves. Tell me what I want to hear. Scratch my ears, in other words. Tell me what. Oh, you're wonderful. You're looking great. Oh, you are so spiritual. You've got it going on so good. We don't challenge anyone. We only preach, you know, 3 points in a poem, happy thoughts. We don't ever want to discourage anyone. We want them to come every week, bring that big old fat tithe check, and we're never going to tell you anything that's going to get you discouraged at all. Oh, the truth? Well, it's the truth, but it's the truth light. You know, something from the Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See how good God is, and he is. And those things, they need to be discussed. We need to know that God loves us. If you have a steady diet of God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, he approves of everything. You couldn't get on his bad side if you tried. You're doing great and everything's great. And no, he's the king. He's paying the bill. So this is why hirelings are a bad idea. They leave the flock, you know, when the wolf comes. You're on your own. I hope it all works out for you. You know, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You hire somebody, like they're a hireling. You do what we preach, what we tell you to preach, blah, 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 blah. That's just a bad idea. If they're godly and good people, and the leadership is godly and good, you tell the truth. You say what the Bible says. We don't care, but you will tell. Okay, I'm kind of committed to that anyway. You know what I mean? So, but you know what I'm saying? It's he's paying the bill, so they're going to tell him anything he wants to hear. I always tell people, don't. We have a board meeting. If we have a board meeting and I have a bad idea and I run up the flagpole and everyone salutes it, oh, that's a one, oh, capital idea, Adam, you're doing so, oh, spectacular. Well, that's fine if it's a good idea, but if it's not and everyone signs off on it, thanks for nothing. I had a lousy idea and nobody loved me enough to tell me, Adam, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Which, if it is the stupidest thing they ever heard, they need to share that, right? Nobody here is saying, King, what are you thinking? You just had God's judgment on you, saying that the dog's going to lick up your blood, and now you want to go off to war, huh? Nobody loves Ahab enough to tell him the truth. Oh, you're going to push him around with these horns and blah, blah, blah. And the messenger that was going to call Micaiah spake on him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Can't you just once go along to get along? The prophet of God, the real prophet of God, says, no. I'll tell you whatever God, now if God gives you a favorable, yeah, go into battle, yeah, God's going to deliver it in your hand. Well, I'll certainly tell you that. If He's saying, you're going to die horribly, I'm going to tell you that. The truth matters. I know we live in a land now where truth is kind of on a sliding scale, situational ethics. I always wonder, do people do their banking that way too? The truth is the truth. It might not be popular, but it's true. Now, we speak it with love, to be sure, but we speak it. I pray thee be like one the word of one of them and speak that which is good. Micaiah said, because Micaiah is the real deal. He loves the Lord. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. I don't care, ladies, if you have a cup of tea and somebody over and you're having a Bible study, even just one-on-one, when God tells you this is what you're to say, oh, but they're not going to like it. Let God worry about that. Say what needs to be said. Let chips fall where they may. I would tell that to anybody. It's awful hard when you're afterwards, when you, oh, I know I should have said. Now, sometimes it's just, I always say the French have a term, it's called esprit d'escalier, spirit of the, or the wisdom of the staircase. It's what one should have said when one should have said it. Well, I get that, because we all second guess, you know what I should have said? I should have said, that's different. God's telling you, say this. I want you to share this with them. And we're saying, I don't know. I think it's not going to go over real well. Say it, just say it, just say it. You'll never regret saying it. You'll always regret not saying it. But let's keep moving. As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Oh, praise, that's just a breath of fresh air to me. Praise God. Thank you, Micaiah. And he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, factor in the sarcasm. Ahab does, right? Ahab knows he's just playing. He's playing them. And he's also mocking the 400. Obviously. And the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Shut up. Just shut up. You're so full of hot air. You can't even say that with a straight face. Are you kidding me? You got 400 guys lying to you. And now you're telling this guy, oh, I told you you're supposed to tell me the truth. Oh, yeah, you're just a righteous. Oh, my goodness, you're so righteous, Ahab. This is nothing but hypocrisy. That's all it is. He is mocking them. He's being very sarcastic. The king calls him on it, which is fine. But don't tell me that you all want me to tell you what's true. I always tell you what's true. Didn't you just go get me out of prison? What was that for? Telling you what was false, like these bozos here? And he said, I saw all, you want the truth, huh? You can't handle, never mind. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Well, yeah, but you want to go up to Ramoth Gilead? God just gave you a hall pass and said he wasn't going to destroy you. He was going to bring that destruction on your children. You really want to go to Ramoth Gilead, huh? And he said, hear thou, therefore, the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Now, this causes a lot of people get distraught about this. Don't. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, another said on this manner. This actually happened? Or is this just like an anthropomorphism? It's telling us in a way that we could understand, or is this actually how it played out? I don't know. Let's just take it at face value and say this is how it happened. Then came forth a spirit. Is it an evil spirit? No, he's one of God's holy angels. Some sort of spirit. I don't know. Was it just a regular garden variety angel? Was this a cherubim? Was it a seraph? I don't know. A spirit. Then came forth the spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said unto him, wherewith? And now God does not ask questions. He does, but it's to get you to repent of something. Adam, where are you? Like he didn't know where Adam was. Are you kidding me? God doesn't ask questions to find out an answer. Like you ask questions because we don't know the answer and we're trying to find it out. I get it. I think this is, he's saying this in such a way that we can grab hold of it. Not, yeah, I never thought of that, God says. Huh, you're going to, okay, I see what's going on here. How are you going to say it? How are you going to persuade him? I will go forth, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. What happened? Well, there was a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. It worked, right? And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. God prophesying, that's exactly how it's going to play out. And it did, of course, because the word of the Lord is always the word of the Lord. It always comes to pass. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath poured a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. Listen, you want to go up and die, that's your business. But I'm telling you what God told me to tell you. And I'll even tell you, these 400 payroll bozo prophets, they're all lying to you. Listen, if it's just you against 400, those are really lousy odds, except when God and you are in the same team. Then you're instant majority. I know, right? It's hard to stand up against the majority. Get used to it. We're always in the minority. You're right. It's a broad way that leads to destruction. There's many people on that. It's a narrow path that leads to life, and the few that be that find it. We're not the many, we're the few. We got it. We got this. We're not trying to be super popular. We're just trying to be correct. So even if it's 400 against one, think of it as 400 against two. You and God are an automatic majority. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Yeah. And Micaiah said, yeah, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction till I come in peace. So put him on bread and water, meager rations, right, until I come back. Then we'll deal with him later. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken to me. Now he's talking, he's addressing everyone. He saw 400, he's calling a shot. He's saying like this, if you ever come back, if I ever see you again, God didn't tell me nothing. I love this boldness that goes with being right and being on God's team. If you return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken to me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter in the battle. Boy, God's not going to be able to recognize Ahab now. That's a good plan. You're going to throw on one of them little like glasses with the big nose and the plastic mustache. And God's like, where do they go? I don't understand. I'm taking off my regular robes. They're going to be just like a foot soldier, and I'll go into the battle, and I'll be cool then. That's probably not a good plan. I'm just saying, right? And so he's talking to Jehoshaphat. I will disguise myself into the battle, but thou put thou on thy robes, and the king of Israel disguise himself into the battle. I want you to dress up like a king, but I'm going to dress. Now, I'm Jehoshaphat. Say what? No, you idiotic person. No. Let me put that another way. No. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? I'm going to draw them up. They're going to chase all after me, and you're going to go maneuver around. Forget about it. Jehoshaphat is he the 400? They got him intimidated? Does Ahab got him intimidated? He just heard the word of the Lord. This is a huge, huge, huge mistake by Jehoshaphat, who's, by the way, got a pretty good scorecard when we see him in 2 Kings. He's a good guy. We'll read about more in Chronicles when we get there. He's a good guy. This is disastrously stupid. You're a good guy. You love the Lord. Can you do something disastrously stupid? Oh, please. Please, I could regale you with one story after another. God pulls his saves his bacon, and I can tell you stories, but let's just keep moving for now. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. Why? He was really embarrassed by Ahab in battle. And he's got a score to settle. I'll say, yeah, I don't fight with anyone. You 32. I just want you to kill the king, okay? That's your plan. Came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. What did he cry out? God, help me. Probably. What would you cry out? Now, they knew it wasn't Ahab because Ahab isn't crying. He probably said, Yahweh, help me, you know. Or something like, isn't it? I can't be Ahab, right? However, whatever happened, they knew it wasn't Ahab, right? It came to pass when the captains of chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. God pulled his fat out of the fire. Why? Because God's good. You're in a place where God said, don't go. He's not obliged to rescue you. When you're right in the middle of his will, you're right in the middle of his will. Once you turn aside and say, listen, I heard what you said. I'm self-will. I'm going to do what I want to do. It could be like Josiah dying in battle. Here, Jehoshaphat cries unto God, and God said, send an angel down there and turn them to chariots around. Whatever happened, right? And a certain man, just a certain man, right? Ralph, a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. Boy, you are too. The battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot, propped up is the idea, in his chariot against the Syrians, and he died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. Don't cry. Don't even be a little bit sad. This is a horrific human being who died. He lived disobedient, and he died disobedient. And God gave him. Listen, once I gotta tell you something. There, this is my heart of heart. I'm just speaking right from the heart. I have to believe if I was Ahab and I got in with Jezebel and I took a turn for the worse, by the time that the fire of God fell on that burnt offering, the bull consumed the whole thing, licked up the water, burnt the rocks, burnt and consumed the altar, I would have said, yeah, I may have to recalibrate here. I may have to reconsider. You know, I may be married to Jezebel, but I can deal with her. Well, I'll let somebody deal with her. I'll just have her put in prison or I don't know what, but I'm not worshiping Baal anymore. I just saw the prophets of Baal, and I just saw one prophet of God. I think I know which choice I have to make. And then they were going out against the Syrians, Ben-Hadad and all them. They were like two little flocks of goats, remember? And what happened? God said, I'm going to deliver them into your hand. And about that time, I would have been saying, I tell you what, I'm changing. I don't care. Okay, I used to worship the other guy, but he never did nothing like this for me. I'm changing. God gave him time and time and time to repent. Hey, you better get down to Samaria. I see a cloud as big as a man's hand. It's going to rain. Let me tell you right now. How about if a guy just walks into your press briefing or whatever? So they're going to rain until I say it's going to rain. 3.5 years later, yeah, it's going to rain. I think I would have, I'm pretty sure, I'm just saying, I wasn't there. I'm pretty sure I would have changed teams. Oh, yeah. Team Yahweh. Do I sign something? How do I? Yep. I'm good to go. Let's do that. And I would have led the nation, and we're gonna worship the real God, not that phony one who never answers anything. God will give you chance and chance and chance and chance, and then one day the door of the ark gets closed, and the rain starts. That doesn't give me any joy to say that. How many chances do we get at this thing? You know, I was told that people average 7 times they hear the gospel, they get saved. What if somebody's on the 700th? Well, they're pushing the law of averages way out of... some people are very strong-willed. Don't cry for Ahab. And they went out a proclamation, verse 36, throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. Huh, Micaiah, Okay, I wonder if, that's exactly what he said. And the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. That's very specific, okay? Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did in the ivory house which he made, they were very wealthy in those days, which is one of the reasons they worshipped Baal. They had, okay, 3-chariot garage, ivory palace. Come on, that's pretty impressive, right? It reminds me of a Charles Dickens novel, A Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the best of times economically in the north. It really was. And it was the worst of times spiritually. And if you can only have one, pick good spiritual, right? The ivory house which he made and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his stead. Ahab is trash. Ahaziah is trash. There's not a good king in the north. Jehu, a little bit. We'll read about him. He's I like him because he's psychotic. I like him. I'm drawn to him. But he's not like one of the kings like Jehoshaphat or Hezekiah or Asa or Josiah. He's not one of the good guys. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old. There's one little vignette about Jehoshaphat that's going to close the book. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. And he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. Asa was a good king or a bad king? Good king. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, except for this fiasco with, we're accepting that, right? This fiasco with Ahab. But he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people often burnt incense yet in the high places. So I think it's in Chronicles, I'm not sure. He took away the high places. Again, they're probably reinstated, but they're burning incense or making offerings to Jehovah, to Yahweh, but not false worship. But still, it's not supposed to happen. The temple is where sacrifice is supposed to happen. Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. That's not good. Now, my people are as your people. My horses as your horses. Yeah, not so much. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father, Asa, he took out of the land. Now, the word for Sodomites is male prostitutes, and that may have to do with shrine prostitution, false worship. And so some people who are pro-homosexual, there's more and more of that all the time, even among those who, I wouldn't say they're Calvary Chapel, I would say they more used to be, although they still have the title. There's some you can look up online, you're going to like Calvary Chapel, pro-gay, and you'll see some stuff. I'm ashamed to say. I don't care if they're temple prostitutes or just regular, good old-fashioned homosexuals. The remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. And God's saying that to his credit. This is a good thing. Okay? There was then no king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Yefer. For gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Then said Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat would not. What happened? I hear you, Lord, I hear. Okay, my ships are broken up at port. Before they even sail. You remember Solomon did this. He built ships and they went to Ophir and they came back with like huge amounts of gold and they were gone like 2 years and stuff. And so this is Jehoshaphat saying, okay, let's be industrious like my great-great-great-grandfather Solomon. And God's saying, no, I don't want you in bed with that godless, wicked Ahaziah. So ships are broken up. And I think Joshua got the memo. Jehoshaphat got the memo. He would not. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. 2 years, that's not very long. Yeah, God said, yeah. I've had enough. Sometimes wicked kings like Manasseh reigns for a long, long time. Sometimes godly kings don't reign for a long time. Generally they do. And wicked kings generally don't reign for a long time, but sometimes they do. You just think, okay, if it's a godly and good king, long reign, God's blessing. like, you know, Uzziah. I think he was a king for like 60 years, or he was 60 when he died or something. I don't remember, but a long time. Remember, imagine having a president for that long who was godly and good. That would be okay. One of the things that tense me up, I don't like to admit being tense over anything, but one of the things that tense me up is presidential elections. I think there's a lot of stuff that could happen, good or bad, and the outcome of an election could be very good for us or very bad for us. My faith is in God, no matter who gets elected, but I know the heat gets turned up against the church when certain people are in power. Enough said, Fred, let's keep moving. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria. In the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, reigned 2 years over Israel. He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father. His father was Ahab, by the way, in the way of his mother. His mother's still around, by the way. And in the ways, and we'll see what happens to her. Remember, there's a prophecy against her. Hasn't come to fruition yet. And in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. So he's still involved in idolatry. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done for only 2 years. Let's remember that. Okay, next time we get together, we're gonna keep going in the book of Kings. Remember, it's one book. So it seems like just we'll finish off Kings. After that, we're going to have a little bit of a break. We're going to go somewhere else. I have it in my mind, maybe, but I haven't nailed it down. I'm not trying to be coy. I'll let you know when I know for sure.